right. Good morning. We are glad that you are here this morning, and we're going to call in those folks who are out in the hallways. And we had a great district children's quiz meet yesterday, and we have results to share and awards to give out. And so we want you to be present so you can cheer these kids on and see what a great job they did. And so we encourage you to make your way into the sanctuary from your classrooms and from the hallways, and indeed to join us as quickly as possible here. And we're going to turn the program over this morning at this time to our children's quiz director, Miss Sue.
Good morning. Jacqueline? MJ? Yesterday, or Friday, we took three quizzers and five adults to the district quiz in Carthage. And they had 220 quizzers. And of those 220 quizzers, 84 qualified for region or for world quiz. And three of those quizzers belonged to us. So we did really good yesterday. Jonathan, they did so well that they ran out of trophies. And so Jonathan was the only one that got home with his gold trophy. And Jacqueline and MJ will also get one of these, but we will have to wait until they come from the district. So everybody won one of these. Let's start with MJ. MJ did his memory work, so he got a ribbon. Here's your ribbon. He did the 7-Up Challenge. But they ran out of those trophies, so he didn't get one of those. That will come from the district. He will get one of the gold things. He missed four questions out of 45. And he got his world certificate, so he can go to World Quiz in June. Here. I did. They didn't give you the thing for your 7-Up Challenge. Remember? And he gets his axe bar for completing the axe studies. Do you want to say a...
Acts 4:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. And when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
Jacqueline didn't win the 7-Up Challenge, but she did her memory work. She did all the extra memory work, and she will get a gold trophy, and she also got her World Quiz certificate, and she completed the axe study. So do you want to win?
Acts 20:28, keep watch over yourself and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to be shepherds of the church of God which you bought with his own blood. Acts 20:28.
Jonathan and his family went to Tulsa this weekend, so we'll get his stuff to him next week.
Last week I missed being here, but I got to spend some really good time, really quick time with my two grandkids, so I appreciate the fact that I got to be away, but I'm glad to be back. Would you stand with us as we begin worship with How Can I Keep From Singing? So that means everybody has to sing.
There is an endless song that goes the I am holding on to
74 in Sunday school. That means some of you that have been sick and out and about traveling have made it back to us, and we are so happy for that. As I say almost every week, if you see someone, or don't see someone actually, that hasn't been here in the last couple weeks, and you get the chance to, send them a card in the mail or drop them a quick phone call and just let them know, hey, we've missed you, and we hope to get you back soon. If you would, go ahead and turn with me to your bulletins. I've got several announcements that I want to go over and highlight, even though they are mentioned in your bulletin. The first one is this morning. We will be having a guest speaker from the Potter's House up in Springfield at the Missouri State University campus. So they will be speaking in our service today. But directly following service, we are going to have an organizational meeting of the new church board. Located inside your bulletin, that white slip of paper on the back side of the guest registration lets you know the results of our annual meeting. So if you were elected to the church board, you need to stay directly following service. We will meet very, very briefly. Okay, so the six board members elect, and then the three different Sunday school, missionary, and youth. All right, which youth won't be here. So those of you that were elected, if you would please stay directly following service. And then tonight, I want to promote this big time. Tonight, our teens are going to be directing and leading the entire service. They are out this morning. They have been gone since Friday evening for their annual teen retreat. And so what I would like for all of you to do is to come tonight. Let's support our teens. Let's show them that we care about them. So let's, if you don't normally come on a Sunday evening, try your best to come tonight, and that way we can show them the support and care that they deserve. So plan on being here tonight for that. And then those of you that are on the SDMI committee, this will be our last meeting of the year, but it's going to be an important one. We've got some decisions that we're going to be making on. So if you're part of that committee, the SDMI committee, please be here for the meeting directly following service. Then men's basketball tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. They're in their playoffs, so hopefully they can continue to keep winning, to keep playing. This Wednesday, we will have our regular scheduled Bible study and children's and youth gathering. But it is the last Wednesday night that we are going to have the opportunity to rehearse as the choir for our Easter program. So if you're part of that, please be here this Wednesday at 6:30. And then Thursday is potluck with the pastor. Yay. For all of you seniors. He likes pie and deviled eggs.
The new chamber director will be here to speak to us.
All right. The Nixon Chamber of Commerce director will be here as the guest speaker. This Saturday, don't forget, is a wedding brunch shower for Sarah Hanley and Brendan Smith. Brendan is the son of Karen Smith and Brian. Sorry, I just had a lapse there. Thank you, Brian and Karen Smith. So there's a sign-up sheet out in the Welcome Center for that. Please sign up and be here. That is at 9:30 this Saturday. And then Easter is right around the corner. coming up in a couple of weeks. We will have our Easter breakfast like we have in every year since I've been here. That will be 9 o'clock to 9:45. There is a sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center for people that would be interested in helping prepare for that, people that would be interested in serving, and then also people interested in cleaning up for that. So that is our Easter breakfast sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center. And we still have some eggs, I believe, left out by the Welcome Center out there. Grab a bag and take them home, fill them up, or if you don't want to do that, bring some candy or some change. I know of someone that put some change in the eggs. So we'll get those filled up, and hopefully we will have a great, great time at Easter this coming. That's all the announcements I have. We do have a couple more. Amber's going to come and talk about Vacation Bible School. And then also we have the approved budget for this coming church year that we're going to pass out and get into your hands.
If I could have you and Bob me just to come help me right quick, I'd call on our teens, but they're a long ways from here. I'd pick them while we get here. So these are the budget forms. This is the approved budget that was handled in board meeting on Monday night. And so while Miss Amber's coming and sharing, we'll try to kill two birds with one stone time-wise here. And we have we should have one copy for every family, but this will let you know what our budget for the coming year is. We like you to know what's going on with the money that you give to God, so that'll tell you where it's going.
Good morning.
Good morning.
VBS is already on the go, and I just went to a workshop yesterday, and my brain is just going 90 to nothing with all sorts of ideas and things I need to do. We have a lot of helpers already, and I am so thankful for those helpers. We still need a few more. I still need some assistance to our Oikos leaders, and I will explain what that means later. And I need a drama person. If you are a drama person, it's only one night. It'll be on the Sunday night for a closing. I could use another drama person. So if any of those things are appealing to you, please come speak to me because I will love to put you to work. Also, real quick, if you're an Oikos leader, I think there's got five of you, I need to see you real quick. We'll just meet back over here in our overflow room. And I'll fill you in on a few things. Also, I am in need of your trash. Sounds odd.
I've got a bunch.
Oh, well, okay. We'll bring it on over. Actually, I'm going to need specific pieces of trash. Okay. Do you know what these are? Can you see them? Yeah, they're things that go around pop, maybe water bottles, anything like that. If you have these, if you will bring them in, we'll just start collecting. That'll be great. It has to do with kids being in handcuffs. That'll get your little brain sinking. Anyway, it's going to be a neat deal that they will do that when they talk to Paul about being arrested. But if you have these and can bring them in, that will be great. That will save us from having to make some, which is not a problem. But if you have these, they're just trash. If you'll bring them in, that would be awesome. Also, I am so excited to say I got the T-shirts ordered on Monday, and I'm hoping that we'll be ready sometime this week. They're only going to be $8 a person straight across the board, no matter what size you ordered. So, if you want them at any time, if you will make your check out to, or you can bring cash to the church, or if you want to drop it in the offering plate, that's fine. Just please put on your memo that is for VBS T-shirt. And I will, when I get those, I'll put them all together and I will let you have them. Unfortunately, I'm not going to let you have them until you pay for them. So if you have to wait till paid or anything like that, hey, that's me. That's fine. We'll have them. If you want to wait till right before VBS to get it, that's fine too. Not a problem. But I'm hoping to have them this week, and they should look really good, I'm hope. Second, if you were somebody who wanted one and didn't get a chance to get one, you need to let me know today. And I'm not going to make any promises that I can get them, but I will make a phone call tomorrow, and hopefully we can add that to our order without it going to cost a lot. And if you still really want one and I can't get one, there might be somebody who said, yeah, you know, hey, I have 50 shirts. I allotted for just 20, and when you guys came to me and I have 50 shirts, I was just so excited. I am so thankful. So thank you all so much for doing that, and I hope to have them here for you by next week. Thanks.
All right. Well, let's continue with our worship this morning. Stand. We're going to go into our greeting time. Find someone you haven't had a chance to say hello to yet this morning and shake a couple hands.
Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family.
It's good to be here and good to see all of you. A quick reminder, if you want to attend the Joplin District Ladies Retreat, you need to have it postmarked. We need to have it postmarked by Wednesday. So you can write a check to the church, put on their women's retreat, and Sue will get those mailed in. It's $27. If you fail to get that in or undecided, you can still go at the last minute. It'll just be $32. So if you're interested in going, there are forms that you can fill out. They're out there on the bulletin board. Grab one of those and get your money to Sue. And then we will talk about carpooling and everything. This retreat is April, I think it's the 6th, whatever that first Saturday in April is. And it will be at Carthage. We always have a good time. One of the things that I want to share with you this morning, I just found this on the Engage magazine, and I just thought it was kind of fun to think about, partly because my mom and dad recently have been talking about going on a mission trip, and first time they've ever done that, and they are soon to be 76 and 74, and they're pretty excited. So when I ran across this story today, this week, I wanted to kind of share it with you. But this lady's name is Wilma Lancaster, and she's in Oregon. And she is a three-generation Nazarene. Her great-grandmother joined an Oregon Nazarene church in 1906. And her son, I think he is actually the pastor, but anyway, he was involved in their church. And they were having their 40th anniversary at their church, and they decided they wanted to do something special, had been a very mission-minded church, had lots of work and witness teams throughout the years and so forth. So for their church's 40th anniversary, they decided to participate in a program called the Great Church Giveaway. And through all of this, they had a special offering and raised money for some personal church repairs and to go to support a church. This Great Church Giveaway is that they would help fund a building in a new church work, and this was actually going to be in Ecuador. And then they decided to send a work and witness team to help build this church. And he decided his mother was going to go on this work and witness trip. And his family, there were four children and four stepchildren and grandkids, everybody involved, and worked it out. So she was able to go. She had to get the clearance of her doctor. She'd had a stroke and quadruple bypass surgery and also had carotid artery surgeries. So she had a lot of health things, but the doctor cleared her way to go. And she was a very good cook, and that's where they put her at. And this little article talked about she took stale bread and made bread pudding and used the fresh lemons off the trees in the parsonage yard to make this bread pudding for everybody. And she got to attend four different Nazarene churches while she was there. So all that to say is, I don't know where God leads you and prompts you. Maybe it's just to be the supporter of sending somebody. Maybe in a late age that he's going to say, why don't you try work and witness? Maybe he's going to say, why don't you encourage somebody with work and witness? I don't know what it is, but you know, you're never too old. You never know what all's going to happen, how God's going to direct and lead you. But it's kind of exciting to see what God does in all of our lives, whether it's teenagers all the way up through senior adults.
Thank you, Jennifer. I never get excited about work and witness myself. Isn't God good to us?
Yes, he is.
Are you excited about what God is doing?
Amen.
Does there seem to be a rising tide in our church of spirituality that leads us to just be blessed in a special way by the Lord? I believe that today. I'm looking forward to Easter. All the beautiful flowers that are starting to spring up and some that aren't quite so beautiful yet. I went out yesterday, cut the old brush off of the top of the mums. The mums are beginning to show little green traces. Our God is a great God. He gives us a lot of beauty to enjoy. But man, thank God for work and witness. I've been places I never even dreamed I'd be, because of the provision of God. Excited about going to Arizona in September to work there at the Indian school in Sun Valley. Well, I'm getting way away from where I'm supposed to be. Like to have our ushers come and we'll receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Had some new volunteers that went with us to the rest home today and helped us with the services there. What a blessing that was. Father, we are called together today to your house to worship you. Lord, in a few minutes we're going to hear a message about Potter's House and the things that are taking place there. And Lord, we're so blessed to have a part in this ministry. And now as we bring our tithes and our offerings into your storehouse, may this be a part of our praise and worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Where thou hast gone, You're our creator. and joy. Throughout the ages, you've been our shelter, our peace in the midst of the storm. With signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you've shown us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hand. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. When we walk through life's darkest valleys, we will look back at all you have done, and we will shout, our God is good, for he is our faithful one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one whose glory has been shown. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. And I remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me and never leave me, and I'll never be in the same. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's. I tell you, that, aren't you glad? How many times in Scripture did great men of God recall past history? When they were trying to incite the people of Israel, the Israelite nation, to follow God, and when they thought things maybe were a little lax or a little apathetic, or maybe there wasn't the commitment they were hoping for. Remember times Moses, Joshua, various ones said, hey, think about what God has done for us. I like that verse that says, do you remember the day you got saved? Do you remember when God called you out and you knew he was speaking to you? And sometimes then we get to walk in our Christian faith and we start thinking all of a sudden that God doesn't talk to us personally anymore. We get to thinking about God as, oh, he's too big and there's too many people and there's too much going on. But do you remember the day he tapped you on the shoulder specifically and you knew he was talking to you personally? He still does. And he is still the same great, awesome God of all of history. And so there's not anything too hard for him, nothing too difficult. He's able to exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine. That's the God that as we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, that's the God we're talking to. He is more than able to deal with whatever is going on in our life. He is worthy of our praise. How many of you like to receive a compliment every once in a while? Okay, I want you to do me a favor. I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to yell out at the count of three, we love you, Lord. Okay, one, two, three. We love you, Lord. He likes to hear that, just like you like to hear that. Scripture say, if we don't speak up, the rocks will cry out. I heard Jennifer going over her video series that their Sunday school class was doing, and at the beginning of that series, the fellow who was teaching on Philippians was talking about the whole earth groaning because of it's become corrupt, and it talked about our soul panting after Christ, and he talked about various places in the Scripture, but he says, you know, if you stop and think about it, as these animals, these various cries, the cry of the dolphin, the cry of the whale, the trees, when they wave in the wind, they moan and groan. He said that is God's creation crying out to him to escape this corruptness, to escape what the enemy has put on us. God wants to do that. He wants to touch and bless and heal, prosper as we honor him by yielding our lives to him. These altars are open to you this morning, and if you need a place of prayer, a place just to call upon the Lord, maybe it's a place to say thank you, and you've been so good to me, I just want to praise you, and you just want a place to lift that up, you can come this morning. If you have something that's so heavy, it is so heavy a burden on you, you just can't, you're bent over with emotion, you're bent over with the weight of life, you're just come and lay it on the altar. Leave it there. Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to speak to you. This is between you and God. It's your place either to lift up praise or to lay down burdens. This is a time for those kind of prayers. But we want to remember this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer, as we travel into the end of March, we just have a myriad of things that are going on. And next Sunday will be, again, our all-church dogs dinner, our time to get together for dinner on the grounds and to speak to our new visitors and those folks and welcome them and to honor our birthdays and anniversaries. And so remember, that's next Sunday afternoon. Then next Sunday evening, we'll be loading up the van and driving down to Seymour for Fusion services. And Billy Huddleston, Reverend Billy Huddleston, will be the evangelist, and Brian Arner. Man, if you have never heard Brian Arner sing, you better show up. I'm telling you, you want to get chills down your spine and hear the presence of the power of God. This guy can flat bust a song. I'm telling you. And just, you need to be in those services. God wants to inspire us and lift us up. And so make plans to travel down and be at Seymour Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And that's why our choir only has one Wednesday night left to practice for Easter Sunday morning. And then Easter Sunday, we've got our continental breakfast to coming together. And indeed, our special Easter celebration and the egg hunt for the kids, just a lot of time. Celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. I like that Arise song. Arise. We serve a risen Savior, don't we? Amen. So smile. Be happy. He's an overcomer. And he's able to deal with all these situations, indeed, that we have before us. We want to remember some things. I want you to be praying for Pastor Jill and Carrie this morning. Carrie's been working 7-day schedule straight through for several weeks and months now. And so they were offered an opportunity for a weekend in Branson by someone. And so Pastor Jill and Carrie are in Branson through today, noon hour. And so you pray that God will bless them in these last few moments of their weekend together. And we appreciate so much what Pastor Jill has done. You see on the new budget that we indeed have incorporated her part-time salary into our budget because we think she's done a great job and we want to keep her around. And so we just ask you to continue to pray as God would lead you to help out with those situations. Tonight, our SDMI board will meet, our Sunday School Ministries board. They're going to be making some important decisions. The board voted Monday night. We are going to launch this small groups thing. And the SDMI board will be making some decisions about some of the specifics tonight, locations, leaders, and which Sunday nights that we're going to be meeting on. So you pray for that board, because we want this to be the kind of thing that brings us together and builds our church as the body of Christ, and indeed allows us to reach out further beyond the walls of our church. And so you cover that with prayer. It needs your prayers as we try to, you know how it is, anything new, you got to work the bugs out of it. And so you just pray for those things. Pray for these new leaders as we meet to organize this afternoon that have been elected. Pray for our teens as they're in the last few moments of their retreat weekend. And we were hearing exciting things last night that have the good time that they've had. Come tonight, like Ben said, and be a part of that. And then don't forget that our Faith Promise weekend is coming up the 13th and 14th of April. Be praying for our missionary speaker on that weekend. We want to remember the Jennings family. Brother Ken lost a brother And Sister Dee lost an uncle, just all both in this past week. And so remember them and their time of loss. And they're going to be traveling before Easter, right? You're leaving here in the next week or so to go to California and see some family out there. And indeed, pray for their traveling mercies. And we'll miss them on Easter Sunday morning. And we'll try to have a good time without them, but we'll be anxious for them to return home and be back. And we just are so glad. Glad to have John and Linda back this morning, aren't we? Glad to see them. And that's all right. We snowbirds, I can't begrudge them time off, but I sure am glad when they come home. And so we're glad to see you back this morning. And indeed, we have others that will be beginning to come back usually by Easter weekend. So we're anxious for God to put our congregation back together, put our numbers back together. It's been a long winter, been kind of tough. And so we're excited about those things. Pray for these folks and all these situations. I'm sure there are probably some things I may have missed or not remembered this morning, but these altars are open. God knows everything that I forget. And indeed, if you need a place of prayer as we sing together this morning, you feel free to come. We will lift our voices in prayer and just ask God to help us.
All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat.
Grateful today for the opportunity and the privilege of being in your house, for the honor of being your children, bearing your name. Father, we are excited to be heirs to the throne of God and in the sense of being joint heirs with Jesus and all of the privilege and benefit and blessing. We know we're never going to be God. We're not going to be on the throne to run anything. Matter of fact, we need to get off the throne and make sure you're on the throne of our life. But Father, we just love you and thank you and praise you today for all that you are doing. And Lord, you know the many ministries that we're trying to be involved in and the things that we're trying to do. Lord, most of all, we want to be in the center of your will. We want this church to be what you want it to be. Lord, we want you to lead the direction we go. Lord, we pray as we organize these new leaders for 2013 and 14, Lord, that you'll be the head of the church. You'll be the one giving guidance and direction. You'll be the one organizing things, Father. And indeed, all the things that we try to put our little human minds together to do, that it'll be led by your Holy Spirit. And Father, that you'll have your will and your way, and that we'll get away from our human tendencies and preferences and sometimes our selfishness and self-centeredness and all the things sometimes, Lord, we just kind of go with what's familiar to us, which is us. But Lord, help us to have your mind and your heart and to see the big picture and to see beyond and to see the needs of others and to be a church that's reaching out into our community and indeed that we're concerned about the lost souls that we work with and people around our neighborhoods and things. Lord, we're excited when we hear Amber get up here and talk about Bible school. We're excited about her being excited. And Lord, we just pray that these missions and ministries and opportunities from our church that we'll continue to be visible to our community, not to lift up Nixa Church of the Nazarene, but that we'll continue to be visible as a place that is lifting up Jesus Christ, that we're putting Jesus out there before the public so that they can see him, know him as he really is, and that they can be the benefactors of his love and of what he's done on the cross. Lord, we're Easter Sunday's coming. Easter Sunday's coming. We have an opportunity. Lord, there are people, for whatever reason, there are people that Christmas and Easter, they go to church. They don't go any other time, but they'll go on those Sundays. Lord, help us to open our doors wide, to open our hearts even wider. And Lord, that we will sing and celebrate and shout and talk about the living Savior and our resurrected Lord to the extent that they just couldn't go away without having him in their life. And Lord, help us to portray you as you really are. And may it be a great time. May every Sunday be a celebration Sunday. Every Sunday we celebrate the resurrected Lord. Lord, today we celebrate the resurrected Lord. We pray your blessing upon Brother Rob as he would come in a few moments and share with us the mission and ministry of the Potter's House and his heart. Father, we thank you for he and his family. Bless Amy and the children, Father. We just pray, God, that you would take them and use them And for all of the frustration that might be a part of administration, Lord, we pray that in the ministry of what the Potter's House does, that the rewards would be so overwhelming that he's thrilled all the time to be in that position, Lord Jesus, and to see young people's lives changing constantly for the better. Lord, we just love you this morning, and we praise you. We give our thanks. We turn our life situations over to you. We need healing sometimes. We need your help with our emotional state. We need help sometimes with our financial management. But most of all, Lord, we need help that we will live in spiritual victory. And we pray, Father, that you'd have your will and your way. And we'll give you praise for it all in your precious and powerful name. And all God's people said, amen. We are very glad this morning to have with us Brother Rob Gosin, who is our new director at the campus ministries, the Nazarene campus ministries at the Potter's House on Missouri State University campus. And so, Brother Rob, come and share with us what God has laid on your heart this morning and challenge us. And we want you to be open-minded in your heart and open up your pocketbooks. At the end of this service, we're going to receive an offering, and you have the opportunity to either give a one-time gift or to pledge to a long-term commitment to the Potter's House. And so you listen to God and to Brother Rob this morning.
Well, it's good to be with you. Thank you for this opportunity to come and share what God is doing in Springfield, just your neck of the woods. And so it's good to be with you today. On June 1st of last year, Amy and I, we started as the new executive directors of the Potter's House, a year of transition with Steve and Berna as we kind of came in under their guidance and under their leadership as we've served as co-directors this past year. And so it's been a good year. It's been a hard year in some aspects, but it's been a good year to see what God is doing. I have served the last 14 years in youth and college ministry. And so I am well-versed in this generation. I love to see this generation of college students and high school and junior high students really get what it is that God wants to do in their life. The 5 years prior to accepting this position, Amy and I were the youth pastors at Carthage, and I grew up on this district. So I have come home, and it is good to be back on the Joplin District where I received my call to ministry so many years ago as a youth, and so I'm excited about what God is doing. I bring you greetings from the prophets as well. If you know Steve and Berna, I bring their greetings. They love the fact that they don't have to do this now. It's not that they don't love Potter's House or love seeing you. It's just that they are transitioning into a new role. And I think it's important to make clear, and we've had some confusion because I'm coming in as a new director. People just assume automatically that Steve and Berna are leaving. But they're not. Steve and Berna will continue to be a part of Potter's House. God is just transitioning their role into a very different one, and they are very much connected. In fact, they have a ministry that will be happening in the confines of what Potter's House is, and the ministry of Potter's House is expanding in some new areas, and we're excited about what the vision that God is giving us and where He's taking us. But they will continue to be a part. They will continue to play a significant role in ministering to the college students there at Missouri State and Drury and Evangel, and even beyond. They're now starting to minister to the alumni and the married couples that they have seen come through. Steve shared with me last week as we were at another wedding of one of some of our students. He has done 43 weddings in the last 10 years. And so he has 3 or 4 more scheduled for the next year already. And so he is working in a lot of relationship things. And so he and Berna are very much part of Potter's House, but they're just transitioning into a new role. And because of that role, they can't take care of the day-to-day overseeing of that. And so they've been praying, and Amy and I came on, and it's been a good move. And we're excited about what God is doing. This morning, I hope that I not only get the opportunity to share with you, if technology will work, there we go, get to share with you what it is that we're doing at Potter's House and what God is in has brought about in this last semester, in this last year, but I hope to challenge you as well that what God wants to do in your neighborhood and in this church, and to see that not just what we're doing at Potter's House is not just a Potter's House thing. It is a Christian mission thing. It is those who are called by God. This is what we are to be doing with our life. And so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23. This is the theme that I have really grabbed onto as we have stepped into this ministry. And so this is what I want to share with you this morning. Even though I'm a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. And when I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law, even though I am not subject to the law. I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I'm with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from the law so that I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the laws of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find some common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and to share in its blessings. If you're unfamiliar with Potter's House, or it's been a while since you've heard about what we're doing, let me share just a brief history with you. In 1999, Steve and Berna were pastoring in Springfield, and they really felt as if God was leading them away from the local pastorate and into the mission field. And they were at first saddened by this because they had come to love the community. They loved where they were at. They loved the fact that their children were here. They loved the friends that they had made, the people that they had grown close to. And they were excited about going to the mission field, but they were saddened by the fact that they were leaving home. Well, one night Steve was driving around downtown. He came a different way home. And as he drove through downtown and around Missouri State, he realized that there was not a safe place for students to gather. There was not a place that would offer hope and a beacon of light in the late night hours for students. All he was seeing were places where students were being tempted and students were being led astray and down paths of destruction. And he began to be burdened by this. And so this idea of a coffee house began to take shape, and he went and got Berna, and he took her, and they drove around, and they began to dream and pray, and they thought, well, this will be a nice year of us kind of getting this coffee house off the ground, then God will take us to the mission field, and it'll be okay. But what they realized was that the mission field God was calling them to was not over there someplace. It was right here. It was right in their own backyard, with tens of thousands of college students coming to Springfield every year, and more than 600 international students representing over 80 countries. The world was coming to Springfield, and so the prophets opened the doors to Potter's House, and now almost 13 years later, we are going full steam. We're sponsored by the Joplin District. We are a Nazarene ministry. We are your campus ministry. And the POHO, as it is affectionately known by our students, we opened doors in 2000, and God has done amazing things as we have continued to strive to be everything we can to the college students in Missouri State and Drury and Evangel who are in desperate need of experiencing God's love. Students from across the USA have come to Potter's House and found a home away from home, literally calling it that, a place where they can connect over smoothies and coffee, occasionally study, more often than not just sit and talk with their friends, but they have come to a place where they can connect and know that they're cared for. This is why we're there. We exist to advance the Christian influence on the university campus by introducing and reconciling students to Jesus Christ. To accomplish this purpose, it is our desire to build relationships with students, disciple them in their spiritual growth, equip them for ministry, and then send them around the world with a message of hope in Christ to every ethnicity and culture. That is Potter's House mission statement. Not only are we a mission agency that goes to reach students, we are a mission sending agency that sends the gospel out. The students that come through our doors, the students that are impacted by God and that have their lives transformed are our next teachers and architects and lawyers and doctors and politicians and involved in every aspect of life. And we are sending them out to share the love of God with the people that they come in contact with. As I was looking at Potter's House and was really praying about whether or not this was something that we were to do and to make this transition, I began to study up on Springfield because I'd grown up here. My mom grew up in Mountain Grove. I have spent more time in Springfield as a child than I care to even begin to try and remember. And so I wanted to know, what is it about Springfield? And this is what I found. There are 16 colleges and universities in Springfield. There are close to 50,000 college students that are in Springfield every single fall. 50,000. There are 21,000 at Missouri State, 14,000 at Ozark Technical, and then 15,000 spread out among the other schools. Every year, this group of students descend upon Springfield and then go out. We have a great, great burden to reach this mission field. The university campus is one of the largest mission fields in America. When I was growing up and when I was even in ministry, I kind of got into this mindset that college ministry was just kind of a grown-up youth ministry. And I treated it the same way. I did what I needed to do to try and reach college students in the same way that I was reaching junior high and senior high students. But what I have found is that college ministry is not a grown-up youth ministry. It is a mission field, and you have to approach it as such. Tim Tennant, who is the president of Asbury Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky, wrote this last May on his blog. He said this, that only 7% of millennials, that is those students who are currently in college, junior high, and senior high, only 7% of millennials self-identify as Christian. And that is 2% away from being an unreached people group. So it's time that we shift this idea that it's just a ministry to this idea that it's a mission. America is a mission field. It is not some place that we just have to sit back and wait for them to come to us. It is a mission field that we need to enter into. And that's what we're trying to do at Potter's House. We're trying to enter into the mission field of Missouri State and Drury and even Evangel. And even though Evangel is a Christian university, I went to Mid-America. Not every student I was on the hall with knows Christ. And not every student who attends Evangel University knows Christ. And so we do everything we can to reach every student who is in Springfield. When we think about entering a mission field, when Don goes on his work and witness trips that I know he's not really a big fan of, but when he goes on those, he does something. He what they do is we look for a tangible need. When the tornado ravaged Joplin and the earthquake destroyed Haiti, what did we do? We found a tangible need. We met the need of food and water and clothing and shelter, and we went in with those things and we offered them to people, and as we gave it away, they were more receptive to hear about God. That's what we do when we enter the mission field. We find a need, we meet it, and then as we meet it, they want to know, why are you here? Why are you giving this? Why are you sharing with me these things? And we get the opportunity because it opens a door for us to say, this is why. Because the love of God compels me to do this. The love of God so transformed my life. And the POHO exists to meet this need, but college students don't need more food or water or clothing or shelter. They have everything and more that they could ever need. But the thing that they're lacking, the thing that they are in desperate need of, is genuine, honest relationships. To let people know that they care, not because they're a dollar sign or not because they're a mark or a target, but simply because they are alive. And they are loved because of who they are. And so we are trying to meet that need. We are doing everything we can to live out 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23 by offering these genuine conversations or genuine relationships over conversations of a cup of coffee or a smoothie or lemonade or anything else that we serve. It's exciting to see what God is doing. This semester started with a bang. This is a typical line, and what you can't see is it kind of goes around that wall and around the corner into the living room. During the spring and fall semesters, it wraps outside the door and down National Street because it's so nice. But this is a typical line at Potter's House on a Tuesday through Saturday night, about between 8 and 10:30 at night. And they're in line to get drinks of coffee and smoothies and quicksands and everything else. But they are there, and we are seeing incredible numbers come through our doors. Fridays and Saturday nights, we offer the opportunity for musicians to come in and play, and they will pack the house. This is at the start of a show on a Friday night. And what was crazy was that it got fuller and fuller as the night went along. This is the face of one of our students. This is somebody who comes into Potter's House who is looking for something, and he's sitting there in the kitchen just kind of connecting. And what's exciting is that as this semester has rolled on, the stories of what God is doing is just going crazy. A couple of weeks ago, one of our staff found a $5 bill sitting on a notebook right in our entryway. And there was a note written to it. We have a book that people can write their experiences in Potter's House and share their stories with us. And this is what the note said. Hi, this is Tyler. You gave me a ride and a free coffee. Owners, this is all I have, and thanks. If we had been any other coffee house in Springfield, chances are he wouldn't have found a ride and he wouldn't have gotten a free cup of coffee from the owners. And I have no clue who did it. It wasn't me, and I don't know if Steve did it, and it's very possible, but nobody knows who gave him a ride and who gave him a free coffee. But he got connected, and he stopped by, and he dropped $5. He said, this is all I have. We do that because we are a ministry. We do that because we are supported by people like you. This next story is one that shows not only are we making an impact in the life of the students, but we're also making an impact in the life of our community, the people and the homes around us. January 18th, 2013, Terry, Tara, and Jules would like to say thank you to the kind and fun people who work at the Potter's House. And those who enable the Potter's House to live and breathe. That's you. We have nothing but appreciation. Thanks for helping keep our broken little family as together as possible. Also, you have been our den, living room, and goodie dessert pantry, as well as being such good friends. We sincerely wish for you all you deserve and more in 2013. This is a father who comes in with his kids. He's divorced. He's trying to put his life back together. And Potter's house is a place where he's able to come in and connect and be loved because we're open late enough for him to get his kids and come over after school. And finally, I want to introduce to you one of our other students. This is not her. I'm telling you a story about a guy named Jake. And if you get the highlight, his story is in the highlights this month for our report. But Jake is a student at Ozark Technical College. He's 22 years old. He's from Ohio. Jake came to the Potter's house because he had some community service hours that needed to be served. The courts had ordered that he serve 25 hours of community service, and he was looking for a place, and he had heard Steve speak about Pregnancy Care Center, so he called up there, and Steve said, well, I've got someplace better. Why don't you meet me at this address? So Jake came in, and it was about middle of January. It was the first week we were opened, and he was just kind of sharing, I got to do this time, and I'm ready to go. And we said, all right, well, this is what we'll do. So he started to come in to do his 25 hours with the intention of, I'll finish my time and then I'll leave. But what's interesting is that as he began to connect, as he began to kind of get into the community, become part of the family that's Potter's House, he began to see that we're not just a coffee house where he could serve his time, but we're a ministry that truly cared about him. And he began to see that we're different. Potter's House exists because we live on faith of that God is going to provide. And what's interesting is he had grown up in a Christian home. He had been kicked out of a certain Christian college there in Springfield because of some of his actions that were just stupid on his part. And he had kind of lost his faith in God. But as he began to journey with us, within the first week, he finished his 25 hours. He was there from open to close. And he finished his hours. But then he just kept coming back. Open to close every single day. He was jobless. He was running out of money. And he just kind of saw that we were doing our thing. And he'd hear us talk about how we were just needing God to provide this week so that we could take care of the bills and meet salary. And we knew that he would. And we share with him what God was doing. And he began to really trust. And as he is running out of money, he says, if Potter's House can have faith that God can provide, then I can too. And in his words, his faith was not only deepened, but it was widened as he saw God provide miraculously at times for Potter's House. And the money that he had left got him to a certain point, and then he was just like, okay, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And God dropped two jobs right in his lap. One was just long enough for him to pay a couple of bills. And then another job fell in his lap and he was able to go full time and work. And what's crazy is he's working at a fast food restaurant in Springfield. And when he finishes his shift, he comes to Potter's House because he needs someplace positive and encouraging and a place that loves God and will give him the strength that he needs to continue. And he says, without Potter's House, I don't know where I would be. And these are just a few of the stories. There are so many more that we could share that I can't yet because they haven't finished playing out. I don't have the permission to share their stories with you yet. This is what we're seeing. We are seeing 1,000, at best guess, 1,000 to 1,200 students come through our doors every single week. At best guess. We have 125 students this semester in small group or one-on-one relationships like this one. They are being discipled or plugged into a small group, 125 of the 1,200 students that come through our doors. And that is a guesstimate. We have no way of really counting. We just know this. We are able to minister because we are a ministry that exists because people like you pray and support us. And since the new semester has started, we have seen a 20% growth in our sales. Now, that doesn't mean we're seeing a 20% increase in profits because we are selling drinks at or below cost. we're not Mud House. I'm not Starbucks. I'm not in it to make a lot of money. We're a nonprofit. There's a reason we're a nonprofit. We don't make any money. And we've seen a 20% increase in students coming through our door. It's amazing to me that the last day we're open before Christmas, the last day we're open before spring break, we were as busy as the first day we opened the semester and the first day we opened this semester. And we asked the students why, and it's that they just don't want to leave. They don't have anything to go home to. They don't have a relationship or a place that cares for them like we do. These are their words. And they just know that they belong. They're not saying that about Starbucks. They're not saying that about Hebrews or Mudhouse. They're saying it about us because they recognize that we're different. And we only expect that this growth and this trend is going to grow, continue as more and more students come in every single week. We are seeing new students every single week. They are connecting and they're coming back. But this isn't just Potter's House. This isn't not just the call at Potter's House. This is the call that God has placed in your life. If you have a relationship with Christ and call yourself a Christian, a Christ follower, someone who loves the Lord, you have this same call. And the world around you is in desperate need of genuine relationships. They are needed where you live, where you work, where you go to school. God calls us to engage our community and become all things. And this is your call as well. And this isn't some new radical idea. This is what Jesus did. This is the work of God in Christ. He went into homes and He invited people to meals and He got into relationship with them. He offered them a place where they could be heard and genuinely cared for. And you have relationship with people who are in the same need as these college students. They just need to be cared for. So begin inviting your neighbor or your coworker or the kid that you've gotten to know at the gas station or the grocery store or wherever you go into an honest, genuine relationship without seeing them as a mark, but seeing them as someone that God loves and wants to see come to know Him. You're fortunate. And I say this to every church, regardless of where they're located, but you're fortunate to be a college town. Regardless if you have a college right across the street or not, you are a college town. In my time in Carthage, I kind of did an informal, very unscientific study, and I found about 25% of every graduating class was still in Carthage. Whether they were living at home or they weren't going to school, there was about 25% of every high school senior class that graduated, there was 25% staying at home. Carthage is a college town. Nixa is a college town. And maybe you're thinking, how do we reach the college students? And God is stirring up this desire to meet the college students in our area. Here's what you do. You open your home to them. It's as simple as that. You open your home and say, hey, why don't you come over for a dinner this evening? I'd love to get to know you and hear your story. I'd love to know what's going on in your life. Not to just automatically jump in and to start saying, well, what do you know about Jesus? But saying, I want to get to know you. And as they get to know you, they'll see that there's something different. And it will make a lasting impact in your life. And it will make an even greater one in theirs. Because this is true. Because when I was at MidAmerica, I was at one of my lowest points. And I was ready to chuck this thing called ministry and this thing called Christianity, and I was tired. But there was a family that opened up their home. They let me come over and put my feet up on their coffee table and eat their Little Debbie snack cakes and drink their Coke and watch their big screen TV and do my laundry for free. And Ron and Sharon Jackson made such a huge impact in my life that every time I go back to MidAmerica, I make sure I find them. And I say, thank you. And they did nothing more than open up their home to me and give me a place where I could be genuinely cared for. You can do that. It doesn't take a special coffee house. It doesn't take a special smoothie recipe. It just takes people who love Jesus and love people, who want to see them come to know God in the same way. But then there's also Potter's House that is in need of you. We need you to help us. We need your support. And here's a few things that you can help us in. First, you can pray. Pray for us on a daily basis if you can. We're asking people, we're in the midst of a 40-day prayer challenge, we're asking people at 2:30 to set an alarm and to pray for Potter's House. That's 30 minutes before we open our doors. That's 30 minutes that we have spent praying for the students who will come in our doors each day at 2:30. Just stop and pray a prayer for Potter's House. Just ask that God would be with us and what God would provide for us. To pray for God's continued favor and blessing on the ministry. For the lives of the students who will come through our doors and experience God and know that they are loved, even if they don't fully understand what makes us different. Pray that our influence would expand and our opportunity to impact would become even greater. On a personal note, pray for Amy and I. We're still living in Carthage. I drive to Springfield and stay here, and then I drive home on the weekends. So pray that God will sell our house, that we can find a house in this community someplace, and we'll get settled in, and we're not driving. Pray that God would give us the vision that we need to continue to lead this ministry. If you know students who are going to Missouri State, encourage them to come by. Let them know that there's a place that they can get a really inexpensive cup of coffee or a smoothie or anything that they really want. Let them know that we're there for them. If you can, support us financially. If you're supporting already, thank you so much. If you're not, pray about God and ask Him, is this something that I need to be a part of? Right now, I'm praying for 25 churches that will give an average of $100 a month. I'm asking God to provide 25 new churches that would support us $100 a month. And I'm asking for 250 people to support us at $10 a month. While $10 may be a couple of drinks at Starbucks or one night of a fast food or something that you don't even think about, $10 to us buys 2.5 drinks for our RAs. We give free drinks to our RAs, and we give them a charge account of $42 every semester because RAs, our resident advisors, are the best form of advertising we have. And $10 provides 2.5 free drinks in the life of a student. And that may not seem like much, but let me tell you why it's such a huge deal. The RAs at Drury, Evangel, and Missouri State, there's over 200 of them, all get a charge account of $42 a semester. And those RAs are some of the most influential individuals on campus. More so than the student leadership, more so than the president of the school as far as the students go, they are the most influential people on campus because when a student has an issue, they typically go to their RA for advice. And if an RA comes to know Christ, they, instead of offering advice of what the world would tell them to do, they begin to offer godly Christian advice. And it makes an impact in the life of a student in an even greater way than just saying, hey, this is what you need to do to get along with your roommate. RAs are instrumental. First semester, first week of the semester. This is why it's so huge. There was an RA by the name of Anna who is part of our volunteer staff. Whenever she can, she comes over and volunteers. And the first week, she announced on her hall, she said, hey, I'm going to Potter's House and I'm buying. She expected to have 4 or 5 girls come with her. She brought her entire floor of 30 freshman girls. Her charge account of $42 was used up before she even got close to the end of the line. So you know what we did? Potter's House picked up the tab. We paid for her drinks. And then we gave her another $26. The money that she went over her account, we gave her $26 back to use for the rest of the semester. You know why? She brought in 30 freshman girls. Every single one of those girls came back to Potter's House and have been back this year. A couple of those girls actually got involved in a small group. And it wasn't me having to track down 30 freshman girls and try to get them to come to Potter's House. It was our RA who knew that she had a charge account at Potter's House, and because people like you supported us, she was able to give them free drinks. It would have taken me 4 years to get those freshman girls. And she did it in one ask. And it's changed some of their lives. So while $10 may not seem like much, it is a huge impact. And having 250 people give at $10 a month, having 25 churches who believe in what we do that give out $100 a month, is guaranteed income that we know, okay, we can continue this program. We can continue to reach the students. I've got these cards that say Adopt an RA on it. It's kind of like an adopted a kid from World Vision or Compassion or Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, where we give you the name of a student, and that's your RA for the year. But not only is it an opportunity to kind of give on a $10 a month plan, but it's an opportunity to pray for a specific student by name. Now, Missouri State and Drury would freak out if they knew I was doing this when I asked them for the names of their students. They love us. They give us their names freely. But they would freak out if I said, well, I want to pray for them too. They're not Christian campus. Evangel was excited about it. They were stoked. They were looking forward to it. But Missouri and Drury, so it's kind of undercover, but we pray for the students. And there's a student by name that you can pray for. And it's just $10 a month. And then finally, if you're around, come by. This is my invitation to you. Come by and see what's happening at Potter's House. Once you walk in the doors and you see the insanity that happens on a Friday or Saturday night or sometime between 8 and 10:30 during the week, it will change your perception of what we're doing. You'll wonder how crazy we really are. And you may answer your question of just how crazy we really are. But come by. I'd love to share with you the lives of students who are standing behind the counter, the lives of students who walk through and grab a drink. Come by and see us. We're not open regular hours. This is kind of tough. We're only open from 3 to midnight during the week and 7 to midnight during the weekends. I know most of you are probably not drinking coffee at 11:30 at night. I get that. But college students are. So we've got to be there for them. But if you can, please come by. Come see the insanity. If you've got a group of people that would like to have a meeting there on a Friday night and you want to just kind of sit and hear some stories and then see the mess that is Potter's House, I'd love for your group to come in. Whether it's a small group or a Sunday school class or a women's ministry, I'd love to see that. I realize that all of this is a great deal of faith, asking you to pray, to give, to encourage students to come by. But that's what I'm asking. I'm asking for your faith to partner with us and join us as we do our best to reach the mission field of the college campuses, to reach the lives of students. This is a quote from Charles Malik, who's the former undersecretary of the United Nations back in the 40s or 50s. And this is what he said. The university is a clear-cut fulcrum with which to move the world. The problem here is for the church to realize that no greater service can it render both itself and the cause of the gospel with which it is entrusted than try to recapture the universities for Christ, on whom they were all originally founded. One of the best ways of treating the macrocosm is through the handle of the universities, through which millions of youth destined to positions of leadership spend in rigorous training between 4 and 10 years of the most formative period of their life, more potently than by any other means. Change the university and you change the world. This was written in the 40s and the 50s. Imagine how much more true these words ring today. And this is why we're there. Thank you again for allowing us to be here with you this morning. I'd love to pray a blessing over you and this church, and then I'll turn it back over to Pastor Gary. But thank you again for letting me be here and to share with you just a few stories and my heart. I would have loved to have brought some students because they tell their stories better, but it's spring break and they're all getting back into town today or they've just left. So, but thank you again. Father, this morning as we have been here with Nixon Nazarene, Lord, thank you for a church that believes enough in who we are and what we're doing that they would have us come in and share. God, I thank you that this is a church who loves missions and is beyond just the idea of supporting it through finances, but a church that goes and is a church that's passionate about work and witness. Father, I would ask that in these weeks and months and years to come that you would bless this church, that you would open up your hand and that you would show them the vision that you have for this church and the part that they play in this community. God, I would ask that you would give them incredible vision for the future and the leadership that has just been elected, that they would seek you and what it is that you want them to be about. Father, just open up the doors and give them opportunities to share your message with the people who live around the church, who are in this city. give them the opportunity to share your love with as many people as they can. God, be with Pastor and his family as he leads and guides this church in the way that you've called him to. God, thank you for the faithful steps that will be taken in supporting us through prayer or finances or whatever. God, we give you today. We're excited about what you want to do, both at Potter's House and in here. We ask that your name be lifted up in both places. Pray these things in your name. Amen. Pastor.
We're going to ask our ushers to get the plates, and we're going to receive an offering. And certainly, if you want to talk to Rob about some long-term commitment, he'll be glad to fix you up with the paperwork to do that. I had the privilege of being on the district advisory board of our district at the time that Potter's House was initiated. I had the opportunity and privilege of serving on the first board of directors to the Potter's House as a Nazarene pastor. I had the opportunity as a Nazarene businessman to install the sound in the Potter's House and to help them secure video equipment and other things. And I'll just be honest with you, when we first thought of the Potter's House, what is happening there now is so far different to what we had in our minds and is so much bigger numbers and impacting the world so much further around. It took me a long time to get my head around it. But it is indeed impacting in a miraculous way. We believe in its ministry. We want to support it. And my dad taught me a long time ago that you don't ask people to do stuff you won't do yourself. So, Brother Pat, I have my check ready. I want to say a couple of things. Number one, you can write a check to the Potter's House. They are 501c3. They can take care of that. But if you want to write a check to the church and memo it to the Potter's House, then also 2 years ago? 2 years ago, I think it was, the Church of the Nazarene declared college campuses a mission field. And as a result, if you write a check to the church and write Potter's House on it, we will write one church check to the Potter's House, and that goes to our 10% approved giving through missions in the Church of the Nazarene. So either way, it can be taken care of, and it will be a charitable contribution. But either way, we'll get you covered. And they accept all cash donations as well. So at any rate, we appreciate so much your being here, and thank you, Rob and Amy, for coming, not just to Nixa this morning, but thank you for opening your hearts and coming to the Potter's House to be obedient to God, to spell Stephen Berna for a well-deserved rest, even though they're still running 100 miles an hour. But we're glad you're here, and I've been teasing Rob from the very beginning because they haven't moved yet, but I keep telling him they need to buy a house in Nixon. I know a church they can go to. So at any rate, but they're busy, and just pray for them, and they'll appreciate that so very, very much. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege of giving to life-changing ministry. And so, Father, just help us to be obedient today, and we give you the glory, honor, and praise in your name. Amen.